This podcast contains some magical adult language. Listener discretion is advised. And sorry, Mom.
I'm going to Disney World. I'm going to...
Whoa. You're not Mickey Mouse. You're a rat.
Rat smack. Besides, they're tourists. What do they know?
Welcome to Rat Castle, a progressive chat about theme park magic without the pixie dust. I am your host, Nathan Hartman. With me, my fellow rats for this evening, all the way from Florida on the East Coast, Dave Cobb. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
What are you doing in Florida?
Top secret stuff that I can't talk about.
Top secret stuff? Well, you are seeing Hubby.
I'm seeing the Hubby. Yeah, I just had dinner with my husband, who is here for JetBlue flight attendant training. He's doing amazing. He showed me pictures in his uniform. He looks super adorable. I know. He finishes up and then hopefully graduates next week. So
that's awesome.
Flight benefits, babe.
Yeah. Good to hear.
I'm here for a project for work, and it's not Epic, and it's not a theme park thing. Stop guessing, because you're never going to guess.
I think we might have talked about it, maybe, but I don't remember. No, we didn't talk about it. Interesting. Even we don't know. It's even secret to rats. So interesting. Well, see, that's the thing with Dave. He's got many fingers and many pies, so you never know which project he's talking about. That's an analogy that's not that kind of, you know. Don't finger too many things. Okay. Anyway, moving on. Also with us is Victoria. Hello, Victoria.
Hello there.
It's good to have you. You are like almost on your way to Florida, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it this weekend?
Yeah, I leave Saturday morning.
Girl, how do you do it? You're like flying all the time. You're going to go to Tokyo in July and you're just all over the place.
I get
on this you're getting those frequent flyer miles in.
Heck yeah.
I'm trying to think what's interesting in life. The weather's getting nice here in Maryland. I wasn't ready for the yellow pollen. That was not something I was ready for.
They didn't put that in the brochure where you were.
Nobody
here
told me conifer trees. No. And we moved here in July of last year, so I missed it. So yeah, for those who don't know, in Maryland apparently, because there's so many conifer trees, every spring, every tree just shats out a ton of yellow heavy pollen, and it literally covers everything.
It's like so bad.
It's crazy. I mean, they say it won't affect your allergies. It's too heavy. It's not that kind of allergen, but it's everywhere. You like open a window for half an hour and it'll cover your floor. It's crazy. Yeah,
there was a couple of those on a street I used to park on for work years ago, and I have a yellow Volkswagen Bug, and it always looked like I would always joke that it's like shedding its winter skin, it'd be covered around. You know,
it literally looks like I've got paint, like yellow paint streaks on aspects of my car, which is possible because I got into a fender bender last week.
Oh no!
So it's okay, all's good. It was just a little, I'm liable, little, and that's already been decided by the insurance company. I'm not like ruining myself for court. I just turned left and somebody wasn't there, and then they were there, you know, cause the yield was behind the bush. So bad landscaping.
Got it.
But it's okay. It was such a little scratch. It took a magic eraser, and most of my car is fine. It just looks like a couple rocks hit the front just a little bit. So I'm good. I don't know about hers. It's a little bit more, but it didn't seem too bad either. So she got, if you know, there's like little kind of side grills on cars sometimes. There's little like, I don't even know what to call them. I don't know. They're just fancy. Anyway, it ate my license plate because we hit at a weird angle. And so it just kind of like took my license plate. And so I was able to jar it out. But the poor thing, we were next to campus. She's a freshman. And it was her birthday.
Oh,
baby.
Yeah. I said, well, are you enjoying Salisbury? And she's like, actually, I think I'm going to go to a different college next year. I was like, well, fair enough. I hit your car. So there we go.
Well, I'm sure you didn't really help.
No, I didn't. I did not do my job for retention in that sense. Not at all. It's all's well. All's well. Pollen, though the pollen is in the air, all is well. And we are going to get to the news. Okay, let's see here. We got tons of news. And there's one that I have under the Magic Kingdom banner, but it's also for Disneyland. And this is sort of the biggest controversy, I think, going on right now when it comes to business in Disney. Both Walt Disney World and Disneyland are updating their disability access services, also known as DAS, D-A-S. I don't actually know if anyone actually just says DAS.
Most of us just say DAS.
DAS, okay. Yeah. This is too much like dat ass. Like,
I've never considered that.
But the Disney dat ass pass?
Dat ass.
Dat ass.
I mean,
ass.
I get one of those. I got some backyard.
He's got a little bit of development in the back for an extra land. You know,
spin class, baby. Yeah. Spin. You want a good ass? Spin class.
Just bought a rowing machine, so I'm about to get swole myself.
You're swole!
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm going to look like Alan Richardson from Reacher in about 6 months. Won't take long. The actual DAS pass, which is a very serious subject, but when are we ever serious about anything on this show? They are making some changes. So basically, it's going to launch the 20th of May, so about a month from now, in Disney World, and then in June for Disneyland. Yes. And the only real way that I can explain it is people were sort of ebbing in the system a little bit. I've been with people that I wouldn't say were doing anything wrong, but they were able to say like, well, my doctor says I have anxiety, so I can get a DAS pass. And they are right. They were able to get one.
That's true.
And that's perfect. I am not, if a system allows you to do something and it suggests that you can do it, I do not find fault in someone using it. Like, that's perfectly all right. Just to be clear, like, it's not an issue, but it was one of those things where I was kind of like, oh, okay. You know, like, but then it was also like, cause I was with them when I went, they were like, well, of course you can come with me. And I'm like, okay. And so I think there's been a little bit of going, hey, not only are we like, kind of maybe our boundaries are a little wide, but also those people also get to bring people in, and that makes things trouble for kind of flow as well. And so basically the party size has changed a little bit. The party size attached to a DAS can only be 4 total and is restricted to immediate family members. So for example, I couldn't, with my friend that I went with before, I wouldn't be able to use their DAS pass now. That's a change. Mm-hmm. So it's down to that. It used to be 7 and it was pretty much anybody.
Oh, that's weird. It used to be 6. I still use it, but now it's 6 for me.
Maybe it's 6 or 7. Basically they'll still be able to like use it, but it's just, I guess the best way to put it is just a thinned out concept. I'm looking for the exact quote because I think it's the best way to sort of discuss
the verbiage change. Basically it's for people with developmental disabilities now, like, yes, developmental, or anything like that. That's what,
yeah, developmental disability, like autism or similar.
Yeah. That's they just changed the definition. Right. Essentially.
Right. So. Which basically means if you are in a wheelchair and you can wait in a line in a wheelchair, you can wait in a line, is basically what they're saying. I don't know. I think there was probably people in, you know, boots and stuff, leg issues or whatever, and they might have fallen under that if they didn't want to get a wheelchair or if they got one. I don't know. I don't know how people sort of use the system, but we know that there's been a massive increase in use. And this is their way of saying like, okay, look,
it tripled in five years.
Kind of insane.
Keep in mind that queues for the last decade plus, more than that, have always been designed to accommodate a chair going through the switchbacks. That's
correct.
That's not trying to take line skipping away from people. It's trying to make the whole experience more accessible to people. That's the whole reason that queues have gone that direction.
Right.
So that you can see the whole thing and see the way the attraction, the way it's intended. And that's with a line, frankly.
Right. Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't want to negate anybody's need for this. But to say that it's not abused is,
come on. Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely abused. I mean, I use it, and it's definitely abused. Not saying I abuse it. I actually need it, but
Victoria's like, I'm out here. I'm like selling it to people. I'm doing all sorts of stuff.
I would love to err on the side of, you know, not denying anybody this who needs it, even if there's a few people abusing it. That would be the perfect stance for me on this.
Right.
But it's clear that that's not what's happening. The bigger issue, though, for me, and this is one of those, for me, both things are true. It's not one
reason. I agree.
Correct.
The other reason for this is money.
Yeah.
Because they can say, well, if you get a Genie Plus pass, you get that. This is about selling that access to people who don't necessarily, you know, it's one of those things where it is sometimes illegal to ask for that kind of proof of a disability.
Right.
And I, again, I don't want to make it sound like I'm doubting anybody who needs to use this, because but why did it work well for the last 15, 20 years? And then all of a sudden the last three, not.
I think there's, and again, I also want to be careful on how I explain this or talk about this, because I don't want to, as a able-bodied person, I don't have experiences. So, like, again, I can only speak from my experiences and where I've been. But what I would say is there's something connected, I think, to this and the concept of, like, and this makes me sound real like Joe Rogan-y podcast, but like emotional support animals and again, no issue there. Don't have a problem. But I think there is a bit of,
that is an example, just to give as an example, though, I do have a problem with that.
Okay.
Because with emotional support animals is nothing you can prove. It's not that people don't need them. I'm not saying you don't need your dog.
Right.
I'm saying there are people who have trained animals, and the people that bring their dogs that are not trained into spaces that are supposed to be accommodating for people with trained animals.
Yeah.
That's wrong. And that's an abuse of the system.
Yeah. And again, there are trained emotional support animals. So like, right. And so what I think is you have more of those. I think that, how do I put this gently? Saying that you have a problem and utilizing a convenience because of that problem is not as gauche as it used to be. It's okay to do, right? I think that's the case. So people don't feel as bad saying I have a thing or I need this or whatever. And I also think that we have become a hack culture. Like we like to hack the system. We like to, how can we make it work? Now, this is also Disney's fault because their system sucks. And so people are looking for a way to hack the system. Now, I think you're an ethical douchebag if you say, well, I can use DAS because I have, you know, I take an anxiety med, but I take it because it helps me sleep better. And, you know, it kind of quiets the screaming. No, it's not that bad.
I have an actual diagnosis for generalized anxiety. I take medicine for it every day.
Right. And
I'm not saying people who, right.
Right. And I probably would be up for it, but I could have probably got it in the old system, but I never was going to do it because I thought, well, I'm fine. It's not like claustrophobia or anything like that.
Right. And there's an amount of social contract involved in here too.
Yeah, absolutely.
You feel that you will have a panic attack in a queue line. Does that mean you try to seek out a time of day where there's less of a wait, or do you pay for Genie Plus? Is that the fair option for you, or come and try to go on a day where there's not as much crowd? I'm not saying that's the solution.
Totally.
I'm saying the social contract of it is there are people who have less self-awareness and control of their developmental disability than anxiety, which is something you as a person can address.
Yeah.
You know, I think the bigger issue here for me is two things. First of all, it's money. It's that that audience you're talking about that gets anxiety from waiting too long, but doesn't have a formal maybe diagnosis of something developmental. You're going to have to pay $30 more a day for that. And Disney doesn't, Disney doesn't care that you think that's unfair.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you, but that's why it's happening, is because they can now.
There's a system, whether that's evil or not, there's a system in place, so they can say, well, there's a system, right? And I someone I saw on Twitter mentioned, like, well, you know, I can have epilepsy attacks. Like, I don't want to have an epilepsy attack in a queue. And I kind of, and again, I get it. But I also think, but then you're just going to have the epilepsy attack in a store or around the land, or like, you're still going to have the epilepsy attack.
Right.
It just depends on where you have it. Right. Like, so I understand that convenience, or maybe not even convenience, but that feeling of, I want to do this as safe as possible. And this is what I think is the most safe for me. But
the people who have petitioned it bring up some really, really, really great points, right?
Right.
That there needs to be better sort of anti-ableism and training on invisible disabilities and
party,
you know, and that they're worried about people if they have to leave a queue, if their issue is having to leave the queue for any reason, they have to go to the bathroom or they have an attack or whatever, that they're going to be ridiculed for it. All that's valid. I mean, those are valid things.
Right.
I mean, Disney said they're going to put in a system in place for that. Like, they've addressed several of those concerns in the initial report.
Yeah,
they just haven't put details out yet.
Right. Maybe a bad idea on their end. Maybe give everything out at once.
Yeah, I got a little insight on it because I have a friend who actually just is about to start the new training system for it.
Okay.
So it does sound like they're going to clarify some things because they've seen everything, so I can't say that. They're going to put the details out as far as like leaving the queue to come out, go to do your thing, and then come back. All that stuff, they're going to announce that really shortly. I don't know how exactly it's going to work. I'm trying to think. There was something else. But all of that to say is they're going to have health professionals now helping the cast members figure out who qualifies under this new definition. But, I mean,
Here's what I really don't understand. Why didn't Disney go with the IBCCES system that Universal and SeaWorld and everybody else uses? Because that's not flawless either. I'm not saying, that got a lot of criticism as well, but it's a formalized system that Universal has no say on. It is a standalone thing.
Is there a benefit for some, and again, OSHA doesn't fit this, but is there a benefit to have some larger organization that deals in entertainment like this be like, we're happy to help have the conversation so everyone can at least here's our basic guide. And if you want to use it, you can use it. And then we can address this like from a more holistic standpoint, instead of being like each theme park makes their own choice and makes things complicated.
I mean, the only thing I can think of is they wouldn't technically be liable because they're going off of the advice of a health professional that they hired.
Yeah, I don't. Dave, you mentioned, I want to make sure people know. Yeah, so there's this group called the DAS Defenders, and they kind of rejected this new idea. It was 140 signatures on this thing from individuals. They say, we believe that Disney, as a global leader in entertainment and hospitality with a value exceeding $200 billion, should uphold its reputation as a beacon of inclusivity and joy for everyone by excluding many disabled individuals from these cherished experiences. Disney not only perpetrates discrimination, but also sends a clear message that the rights and needs of the disabled community can be overlooked. I don't think there's an easy answer.
I mean, either way, it's not everyone's not going to be happy at the end of the day.
No.
That's really what it comes to at the end of the day. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I agree. And again,
I just think the, you know, all or nothing, it has to be what it was, or else you are, you know, cutting off your nose to spite your face as if no one's abusing it is naive.
Yeah.
I just think that's a naive approach to this.
Yeah.
Because people do abuse it. And, you know, this system isn't going to be unabusable, but somebody's going to find a way around it. But it feels like to me, like you said, there should be more of an industry standard. I know that there's no sort of federal or state way to do this either. The ADA has certain amount of accommodations for this kind of thing, but even that is constantly in flux and in change.
Right. Because I am ignorant as hell, but I feel like if there was a system in place that was a sort of almost driver license-esque experience or something that could be put on your driver's license, because if you're getting disability, right, from the government, like it's marked, it's understood. I don't want to not trust people to do what's right, but I kind of feel like if you want this service, my guess is you're also a part of other concepts or services, whether it's part of the state or the federal government. I don't know. But I wish there was an easier way to sort of on their end. I feel it's a real shame that we put the onus on, this community to figure all this out and then have to like make adjustments so their day works for them. So I wish there was a system more in place, whether, as we said, like a standard for for theme park industry or but governmental,
the fact that it's true.
That could, the they could just go, here's my card. And,
Right.
But
the fact that it's tripled in 5 years is not just people abusing it. It is also that what else has happened in the last 5 years?
Oh,
Genie Plus.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say the pandemic, but sure. That
yeah, well, yes, but sure. But the tip coming right. out
oh,
of
Dave,
all
what hasn't happened in the last 5 years?
Like we just had a whole thing like 2 weeks ago.
That the way queues
absolutely
and lines are handled in the last 5 years is very different than it was before. And right. that is purely profit driven. No yeah. other reason
yeah.
but profit.
As someone who, yeah, absolutely. As someone who's been playing Planet Coaster for hours a day recently, I would get in trouble to try to pull the Disney bullshit pricing. everyone would leave my park. It would not work. For sure. So anyway, last note on this, Disney guests who lie to get DAS will be permanently banned is what they say. So I don't know how they prove.
Well,
that
I don't
lied.
Understand that because that rule has always been in place. So why are they?
Yeah, that's nothing new. Right.
They're
that's
just saying new. It. They're stating it again, I think.
Be nice if they actually fucking did it. But,
how this is the thing is there's this, sort of don't ask policy because legally you can't. And so exactly. it's really hard to figure all this out. Anyway, let's go to some like everyone can agree on news. Victoria, we have cool business over at Tiana's Bayou Adventure in the Magic Kingdom. What new store have we gotten a little look-see at?
Well, it looks like we're getting two new stores, but the one, that we just got signed for and such is called Critter Co-op. So this store is centered around the critters that we've been introduced to previously by Disney Parks in the past several weeks. It was like three rounds, but it looks like this is a store that's centered around them. They have this cute little sign up that says Critter Co-op. It has the two little best friend critters. I think it's like Apollo the raccoon and Rufus the turtle. They're going to have merch, so there's that. And it's kind of like in a sense of a mom and pop shop, like in a swamp, in a bayou. And like the rules, they're like cute little rules. Like it's one, all critters welcome. Two, there's no such thing as a wrong note. And three, dress code is swamp casual. It's like, it's so cute. They have like little signs, like for community gatherings, like a community band. And like a little ball and like quilting sessions, and you can see all little knickknacks around, like where Tiana like has like hardware. For
I like
them.
That it's a co-op. That the right. fact that it's a co-op and not like general store is really
well.
Clever
we have
way
it.
To
the
but Tiana
the
general store is right next door.
Oh, right store. Okay, yeah. There you go.
Which I think is the Splashdown photo store.
Yes,
or was.
Yes,
yeah.
That's, okay. I did confirm. That's what yeah. gonna be now.
I also do love this new little firefly that shows up in the it's for the Firefly Family sing along starring Cousin Randy, which is I just like
you
the,
know
Cousin Randy.
Everybody got a Cousin Randy.
These fireflies are the biggest hillbillies. I love them so. I love hillbilly fireflies. That's my favorite.
They're just so freaking cute. I can't.
Yeah, I love this. I think it's great. It was funny. I was some people on Twitter. I love Disney Twitter and people who desperately want narratives to make sense. And they were like, what is Swamp Casual? And if it's Swamp Casual, like, how did they learn that? Did they learn that from, like, do they know what business casual is? Is there, how do, and I want to be like, they fucking speak. They're animals who speak. They, it doesn't matter.
So
once you accept that.
I have follow-up questions to start. You didn't have these same questions when you saw The Lion King? They have hierarchy. They have a whole monarchy.
Well, they have a whole hierarchy that's also false for the Lion Kingdom community. Like,
you know what? That's also true. Like,
yeah, it's a patriarchy. Nope, I don't think so. It's a matriarchy. Like, yeah, there ain't no Lion King. It's the Lion Queen. Like, literally, that's
literally how it works.
That's life.
Yeah.
I think it's. I'll give him this. There was no house rules in the Lion King. There wasn't like. You know, no Swamp Casual, no Safari Casual. So, I don't know. I it was all good natured and like trying to figure it out. But they're like, so are these critters holding the sign? Are they real holding this? And I'm, why are they putting things in front of this? And I'm like, y'all, it's a sign.
It's just babies. A sign for a store that's literally just going to sell plushies. It's
yeah, so children. Pretty. And it's really pretty.
These are the same people who complained about Universal putting a dragon on top of Gringotts that didn't move.
That was actually a complaint?
Oh, this same discourse came. Oh, why is it not moving? Is it frozen in place? Coming up with reasons why that they put a charm spell on it. And there evidently there is some lore about that it's been charmed into that. But you can also apply it to the giant, Autobot that's standing on top of Transformers. It's just because it's cool, people. Yeah. It's because it makes for a great photo.
Yeah. It's like, okay. No one cares.
It's okay. People know it's not real. They're playing along in their photos.
I need them to understand that Hogwarts is not real.
You know, y'all know you're in a theme park, right? Like it's a park. Like, it's a place. Like
it's okay.
There's a big difference between the hell is the Guardians of the Galaxy doing in Epcot. And then also like this, there's a different, like you can give me themed problems with stuff, but yeah, anyway, it's great. Let's talk about something that's even better. Show us. What do we got here, Victoria?
We have Tiana's Bayou Adventure animatronics. And I should point out that these are for the Disneyland ride.
Yeah. Ours are already shipped.
Ours are already in the building from what I heard.
Yeah. They're ready to go.
They look so good.
So they pretty much showed everything. We got one of the critters. We got Prince Ralphie. Louis looks incredible, as well as Mama Odie. I know Tiana's going to have several different versions and several different outfits that are specific for this ride. Apparently, there's over 17 new original critter animatronics just for this ride. So it doesn't sound like anything has been reused from Splash Mountain.
Probably not. All that was really old.
I know the only thing people were really like, where the fuck is Prince Naveen? And I've been told he's there. We just have not seen him yet, which I don't know why, but he's in the building.
Yeah, that last scene, that's clearly where her mom shows up and what's her face? The good white lady, Charlotte. I don't know there's a good white lady.
The good white lady?
I mean, I don't know. That's what she is. In that time period, pretty much.
Fair.
And we can guess that's Charlotte because Charlotte very much looks like she's leaning on. I think they're going to reuse the steamboat. I think they're going to, or so it's going to be something very similar.
I think they replaced the steamboat with Tiana's restaurant for the finale scene.
Okay, well then she's leaning on an aspect of Tiana's restaurant because she's definitely like leaning over and waving. So we can kind of get an idea of, you know what I'm talking about, Victoria. You look very confused. I just want to make sure.
No, I it was something that popped up. You're fine.
Oh, she's like, no, it was a pop up for Cialis. It just came up. It scared me. All right. Okay, why does everyone like Mama Odie's figure so much? I keep hearing, oh my God, this figure is incredible. And I kind of am like, it's not like giving me Mae Wah. Like, it's just Mama Odie.
I'm with you. I was more impressed with Louis. But yeah, I'm gonna just let people be happy.
Yeah, no, no, it's fine. Lewis got his big ass stuck in a trunk. That's great.
I'm watching this video now, and I'm realizing that a guy I know is in it, Avi Tookman. He's one of the lead programmers. I had no idea.
Of course.
I was like, I recognize that face. And holy moly, he was a student that I met.
Oh, cool. Like, yeah, I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's Dave just throwing out names. You dropped something, Dave. You dropped something.
He was at like some networking event years ago as a like newly minted student.
You know, it's a really like legit. It's a really legitimately small community. Because even like just going to one TEA event, I've already seen videos and been like, no, I met that guy. Like it doesn't take much. Let's talk about Lewis for a minute. This thing's incredible. I think this one's the best.
Incredible, right? Like the way he just moves and like I was baffled. Like he was playing music.
I like that he's got like a heft.
Yeah.
He shifts his weight, his belly jiggles. Like it's really, really clever.
I want him and I want Ursula to do an animatronic sumo fight.
What's with you and sumo?
Well, I didn't get my tickets. They sold out like immediately. I'm not going to be able to go see sumo when I'm in Japan. It's okay. Ooh. It's one of those things that I was sort of like, I'm excited about, but I understand it's kind of like a half a day thing. And then I was like just a little late and like the entire tournament, like 200 was, I think it's 20,000 seat, maybe more. I think it might be more. Sold out every day for the whole thing. So that's, what are you going to do? Anyway, enough about me and my problems. I love these figures. I'm very excited. It's great. Nothing more to say, except I really kind of want to shove it on. I was at WWNT when like Tom and all of them were like, this thing's all going to be screens and they're never going to put any animatronics in it. They're going to budget cut the hell out of this. And then he kind of escaped out of that opinion by saying that that was all Chapek and this is different. And I'm like, no, this is not how things don't turn around.
That's
in 6 months.
That's not how that works.
That's not how it works. You don't create a Lewis robot in the time it take to get Iger here. Like that's impossible. So this was always part of the plan.
Whatever floats his boat, I guess.
Whatever. I'm just glad that everybody was wrong and this thing already looks incredible. I'm very excited. And this is going to be a ride for me though, that like, gang, I am not going to watch video. I can't, nothing.
I don't want to.
I'm going to have to find a time to come out and spend money I don't have. but that means Katie will have to come with me, and that's cost more. Spouses, man, they always want to come and have fun. Go to
that's
Disney.
The perk of having a boyfriend that doesn't like Disney.
That is nice. That is nice. I'll give you that.
He's a universal boy.
I need to say though that because it's part of my academic research, like I could just make it an academic trip. I'm just gonna pause and look at stuff more. Yeah. Think. Anyway, let's go on over to Epcot. We have a closing date for a certain ride and a new piece of concept art. What's going on there, Victoria?
So Test Track, well, they already announced this previously, but now we have a closing date. Test Track is going to temporarily close on June 17th to start getting ready for the updates for its reimagining. The reimagining basically it's kind of going backwards. So it's going to have inspirations from World of Motion, which if you were around Epcot before I was alive or whatever, sorry. Sorry, it's true.
Or I was alive or whatever.
Yeesh. I was born in 92. I'm sorry. it's going to essentially have aspects of World of Motion. Looking at the concept art, I can't tell you if it looks like World of Motion. I'm just going to go with yes.
No, it doesn't. No.
Seen anything World of Motion, so I do not know.
What is wrong? What is wrong with you?
I wasn't the concept alive art is
the concept art is the traversing the mountain terrain section of the current Test Track with some nicer scenery. So I don't know what they mean by that. By
it's
closer.
World it's Motion. Better. I'm better. Not, it's it better.
Tron Track was dated a few years after it was done. I'm in the minority here. I actually thought that the redo was better than the original test track.
Oh, interesting. Maybe at first.
I thought the Tron track was better. I like the mainly I like the I really love the Simcar design idea and overlay. And at the end of each maneuver, you saw that the screen that showed everybody in the car and how you would rate video game style.
Yeah,
I thought that was actually really clever. I thought there was a better use of the ride system than what was there before. But it is getting a little. It's easy for me to say, oh, that's the new redo, and it's like new redo. That thing was redone like what 2008?
I'll look it up.
Was 2012. I only know that because I that's when I started my cat.
Only 12 years ago.
And yep. It all right,
so only 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could use it, the thing is there were parts of it from scenery wise that were really not great.
Well, blacklight is cruel if you don't maintain. And dust gets very, very noticeable very fast. And there's just elements of the redo too, of Test Track 2.0 where they don't really do anything. Like that tunnel you go through and it sort of shows you the wind pattern, and then you go through the other one and it kind of scans you. Nothing happens. And that used to be heat or cold, or it used to be more. And I think it always kind of felt like a downgrade. I think the sim track thing is fun. I think that it is too complicated to put in a queue anymore. And if you want to do it, you just add it to the app and then people tap their phones to the system. And if you have one, you have one. If you don't, you don't. And that immediately makes flow much faster and would help a little bit with that.
So I guess my question is, what is the World of Motion aspect to this?
I honestly can't tell you because it looks exactly like 2.0 with more foliage. So
yeah, World of Motion was at full sort of, you know, history of movement.
Yeah.
History of how humans moved themselves and things.
It was the carousel of progress for motion.
Cars and transport. Yeah. And so I don't know. We'll see. I've been working on it. I have high hopes because I actually have very good, very talented friends working on it. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah, sure. There was a moment where I actually kind of thought they could do what I called Cars Racing Academy or Cars Racing Lab, where you do lessons about physics and you make it sort of Cars 3 where he's training. And so it's you in a car training to get ready to race, and then you can do physics oriented stuff. But look, they've decided they're not going to put an IP on something. So hats off to them.
Hooray.
Put an IP in their own park, in their own attraction? Are you nuts?
All I know, and Dave will agree with me, it's fun to be free, to be on the move, to go anywhere with ever care, to do all you've wanted to do because it's fun to be free. Okay. So just remember that, folks.
That's children, that is the song from the original ride.
I assumed it had something because I was like, sure.
It is.
It is.
Y'all, if you don't know, it's fun to be free. It's Xtentacion. And it's a bop.
This ride open.
It's a bop.
Atencio.
Did I say, what did I say? Antoncio?
Yeah, you said Antoncio.
Antoncio, Atencio. Let's call the whole thing off.
When did this ride open? Let me see.
What? Which one? World of Motion?
World of Motion.
I don't know. You
was
find
that an
out.
Opening day attraction?
This is where I lose my bona fides. World of Motion opened in, I just saw it. It opened in 1982, October of 82.
I was not believing my father's eye. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it closed in 96. Like, you could have ridden it. You just don't remember.
I didn't go until 98.
Well, then there you go. I think they need it. Dave, I think you would agree with this, too. I think they need to bring back the Trans Center, but we need to just have it be massive diva, wonderful time. Like, just let the Trans Center be totally a pride center in the middle of the Test Track instead of being being what transportation make it
the Trans Center is that what
that's what it was called here? Yeah, it used to be called the Trans Center for transportation.
It was called the Trans Center. I'm down.
Yeah,
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Absolutely. I would like to see, I want my kings and queens, my trans kings and queens to have a place. Let it be at a lounge, but only for my trans kings and queens.
Showing off your beautiful retro cars. It's like a auto museum.
Honestly, I hope they redo. So the Trans Center used to be, in all honesty, more like there was like a couple shows. There was a
The Bird and the Robot.
Yeah, The Bird and the Robot, and then there was
amazing.
Yeah, and it was very funny. And then there was a cartoon sort of thing.
Yeah.
This whatever it is now sucks. Like, it's a show floor. It sucks.
That's it. Whatever it is sucks.
I don't know. Oh, I want
to
know
that. That's where it used to be, where like the little car showcase is now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to know who has ever bought a car at Epcot. I'm sure someone has. But who is this person?
Oh, you can actually like buy a car?
I mean, you can't drive it off the lot, but.
I didn't know you could buy it. I thought it was just like to show the newest products. I didn't know you could actually buy one.
I'm pretty sure if they can get you to buy a car, they're going to make you buy a car. Right, like I can't fathom why they would have people there showing you off cars if you couldn't buy one. I don't know if anyone's. Hey, if you're listening and you've ever bought a car at Epcot, let me know.
I don't think so.
Why would they have salespeople there then? Why would you have Chevrolet people there to sort of take you through?
Because Chevrolet's paying a bunch of money to sponsor it, and that's how they get marketing. I guess I don't know.
I don't know. You may be right.
I'm gonna look into this.
I'm curious. I've always assumed if you were like, actually, I think I'd be interested in buying one, they would put you in contact with somebody. But who knows? I don't know how that works. Yeah. So there we go. World of Motion. No. Test Track. Now we're just talking. You got me on a roll. Let's go over to Hollywood Studios. Lots of Star Tours, except I don't think Tokyo. I don't think Tokyo got this update.
No, it was only Paris, Disneyland, and Disney World.
Right, because I don't know the Disney Plus schedule in Japan, so maybe they don't even have these yet. My guess is they do. But what new characters have shown up in Star Tours, Victoria?
So we have Ahsoka, the Mandalorian, and Baby Yoda. I ain't calling him by his government name. He is Baby Yoda.
It's a Christian name. Grogu. The Lord gave him the name Grogu.
Well, I ain't calling him that. But what is his name? Andor. Cassian Andor. Mm-hmm. No, that's it. Yeah. Those are the characters, and there's new scenes, and there's space whales.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, there's what? It's one space whale scene and then a couple like hologram stuff.
I will get back to you on that when I write it on Sunday.
Oh, okay. She's not even watched it. I've watched this one video because I'm not like, it's fine. Space whale scene is cool though. Fine.
Yeah, it's a hologram. It's a hologram from Ahsoka.
Mm-hmm. And then I know Mando and Grogu are a hologram because Grogu
are holograms as well.
Grogu does something cute. I'm not going to ruin it for Victoria
as well.
Yes, he is. I am Cassian Andor.
I
haven't watched it. So.
Star Tours. What are you doing here? I am Cassian Andor.
Okay.
So the space whale scene looks really fun.
Yeah.
I mean, looks more fun than the show.
It was, for sure. It's much faster.
Did you not like the show?
No. Did not like that show.
No. Come for me, internet. Convince me why.
I'm here.
Because everybody says this because I've never watched Clone Wars or Rebels.
Well, bitches, I've seen all of it. I've seen all of it. Ahsoka is a bad show. It is boring.
I think the pacing is slow. That's really the issue.
Yeah, very bad.
Anyway, I want to love the characters, and I was like, give me something to love. Anyway.
Yeah.
Space whales. That's my takeaway from that show. Space whales. Yes, to space.
I enjoy space whales.
I wish there was a hologram though of Stellan Skarsgård's character from Andor, because he would have just like it just stopped the whole ride and him just be like, "What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to get?" And like, "Oh, it's so hardcore, Stellan Skarsgård." Okay, we're just Star Tours. Star Tours. You gotta sacrifice it all, Star Tours. All right. We're going to move on. Dave, we have some Disneyland news. I think we've kind of talked about rumblings of this in the past, or there's another group that have done this, but we have an official an official thing that's finally kind of occurred for Disneyland cast members.
Yes, the Magic United cast members group sent a letter to Disneyland's labor relations, informing them that informing the company that a supermajority of the 1,700 eligible cast members had signed a union petition to move forward and unionize for the cast members. This is for the characters in parades, and they've been non-union since the Disneyland Resort opened in the 50s and watched all the other workers around them unionize throughout the park. And so it's about time, to be honest. The Disney has not yet responded, all signs point to this is going to open a discussion with the company, and it's a long time coming.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think Actors Equity is who they want to unionize on. Yeah. Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Which would make sense.
And there's a pattern for this in Disney World. So this shouldn't, this is a pipeline that has went through before. So it's honestly,
it's all good. I think this is fantastic.
Yeah. It's honestly surprising in Hollywood, this doesn't happen faster. Because it's a union town. So, it's interesting, but we'll see. Best of luck to them. We wish them the best. We're going to move on now to international news. I don't know what to think about this. Dave, what is Disneyland?
Oh.
Disneyland, Walt Disney Studios Park is rebranding to be, it seems like a regional British theme park. Or some sort of offset B-level Saudi
park. Dave looks like he's ready to burst.
Would you like to explain what this re-theme of Walt Disney... Look, this is putting shit on top of shit, but Walt Disney Studios Park is now going to be called what, Dave?
ChatGPT, please write me a new name.
No!
That's what this is. That's what it feels like. It's not. I know there was probably, knowing Disney, this it cost them a lot of time and money and discussion and lots of focus testing and lots of, I hope, because if this was just like, yeah, that'll work. But this to me feels like they went round and
I
around.
I mean, hasn't that been the mentality for Studio Park for 20 years? Whatever.
So the final name is Disney Adventure World. Now, here's another thing that I saw a discussion online about: why is it not apostrophe S? Disney's has been taken out of corporate lingo for a long time, and that's because it opens up a whole other. It's a legalese thing, and it's a money thing, and it's an ownership thing. I learned this the hard way working with corporate character brands like. Let's see, DC Comics at the Abu Dhabi park. The Joker is a copyrighted name, right?
Right.
It could not be the Joker's Funhouse. It had to be the Joker Funhouse. And that's because of the way trademark and copyright and I stuff way beyond my pay grade, how it works in terms of what category it's under and making a character own something was a weird, rigmarole of money and legalese, whereas if it was a sub brand underneath another brand, and that's what this is, I think. So they're not making it Walt Disney's or the company owns, it's Disney as a brand.
And Disney this is Adventure brand World.
It's a, just a side discussion. That's why you're not seeing apostrophe. You still see it in Florida for some reason, but I think even that's going to start going by the wayside.
And they have a new logo. They have a new logo.
I'm not a fan of the logo.
No, really? I love the swoosh that looks somewhat like a D.
It's a star swoosh that looks somewhat like a D. The star is definitely your classic Peter Pan style eight-pointed, four major points, four minor pointed, eight-pointed star.
From the people that brought you the new Hollywood Studios logo, we now bring you.
We haven't even said the name. So the name is Disney Adventure World.
Oh, we didn't even say the name yet? Yeah, Disney Adventure World.
Barely. Yeah, I think I went by it so fast. So let's say it again, and let's bask in the glory and put the logo up while we talk about
it's probably already going to be up.
Viewers. Disney Adventure World.
I mean,
it's better than Walt Disney Studio Park.
I mean,
it's better than
Walt Disney Studios Paris. Yeah.
If they're rebranding the park, I'm willing to let them cook. I'm just confused as to what they're rebranding it to necessarily.
Adventure.
I think it allows them it allows them a wider IP, frankly. Mm-hmm. Studios and backlots and behind the scenes is dead. No one,
yeah, it's not a thing anymore.
And
Disney
and,
Green and, Screen Park would be the new version.
And more importantly, this puts it in the branding kind of category of California Adventure Park.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Adventure now becomes a word for them, which is...
Yeah, they really do like that
weak.
Word.
It's
they?
Weak sauce because there are other parks that have adventure in the name.
So if but, they if they would have stripped the font from the classic My Generation's Disney Adventure magazine and just used it, we would have went batshit. Like, it would have been like amazing.
I think this is also riffing a little bit off. This is very old for the old for the oldsters in the audience. The True Life Adventures,
right? Which was right? A similar like logo, yeah.
Which was a very similar logo to this.
But yeah, I asked Chat. By the way, I went ahead and asked ChatGPT this question: give me 10 new names for Walt Disney Studios Studio Park in Paris. So here are the 10 names they gave me. Okay, let's see if you like any of these better. Enchanted Kingdom Studios. Nah. Storyland Park.
Nah. I mean, it is in Europe.
They have. I will say they've put studios on the end of all of these, so we could do with or without studios. But
okay.
Dreamgate Studios.
Ooh.
Dreamgate. I kind of like that. Dreamgate Park. Fantasy World Studios, but Fantasy World is one word. Magicscape Studios. Imagineer Park. So ChatGPT like did some searching, figured out the word Imagineer. So Imagineer Park. This is my favorite. Epic Realm Studios. Now you can't. But yeah. Epic Realm is a nice.
They're never gonna use the word epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can't do that.
Realm. Cinerealm.
Realm. Realm is one of those words that I look at it, and have you ever had that thing where you look at a word and suddenly it loses all meaning?
Realm.
And it's just a series of glyphs together, yeah. And you don't know why your mouth makes those sounds and why those sounds mean that thing. Have you ever had that happen where you stare at a word that you've known all your life, and then for a brief moment your brain goes,
what the hell is that,
Dave,
thing?
I'm going to be honest. I that happened to me, but it was with the with Big Mac.
Big Mac?
With the word Big Mac?
With the word Big Mac, literally 2 days ago.
What the hell is that word?
What the hell? My brain does it constantly where it's just like, it literally is like a record scratch, you know? Yeah. And my brain has to like look at it for a bit.
The other ones are Wonderstage Studios, Legacy Studios, and Adventureverse Park.
I don't hate Legacy. I don't hate the Legacy.
Adventureverse.
Adventureverse feels very of the now, doesn't it?
It's giving where
that implies that there's an adventure top and adventure bottom as well. But, sorry,
it's giving you have a collaboration with Fortnite coming very soon.
Yeah, so well, yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. I forgot they don't they.
Yeah, they
no,
do.
They
Epic
do.
Games. No, they do. Well, all they of Epic do. Games. Yeah.
Also, yep. Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I get the strategy behind this. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. No one's going to buy merch with this on it.
Yes, they will.
And I don't think they care.
Like, yes, they will.
We're the nerds who buy the park merchandise right. With the park name on it.
Yeah. Well, who's buying?
Nobody buys.
Who's
that.
Buying Walt Disney Studios? I think over there it's all Disneyland Paris
Nobody
Resort.
Buys that either.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all Disney Paris. Yeah. I kind of like the new like entrance, Dave. If you want to talk us through this, I'll show the concept art.
Yeah. So the entrance of that park has always been real weak sauce. First of all, I don't know if any eagle-eyed viewers have seen in clips or been there. Those buildings were like temporary. Like they were Quonset hut style.
I'm glad
tensile fabric.
Yeah.
Roofs because permanent in that they can be there for 20 years, but done with sort of temporary building techniques because they wanted to cut back on cost. Mm. And it was basically they said it was a soundstage and you'd walk through and it was this very kind of black lighty 2.5D, some dimensional, some layered flats of walking through a fantasy Hollywood soundstage burgeoning with lights, camera, action, Hollywood skyline in magic hour in perpetuity and sort of purpley glow, you know. It was fine. It was not good. It was not worthy of the entrance of a park.
No.
If you had walked into that and it was the Hooray for Hollywood attraction or something, sure, okay. But as the main street for that park, it was always kind of weak sauce.
I mean,
so now they're calling.
Is all of these updates like going from a D to a C? Is that how it feels like?
I mean,
yeah.
From my experience, yeah. Because didn't even realize when I went that was their main street for that park. As a first time visitor, I was just like, oh, we're here? Okay. Yeah. Let's go somewhere.
So Dave, what's the new look? What's the new vibe?
It's called, so the new look is very, they're getting rid of the soundstage look to the exterior entirely, and they're making it look like a classic old movie palace. Matter of fact, it's the style is very Spanish Revival, like you would see in California and Los Angeles.
Which I love, by the way.
Which is great. Yeah, it's better than what was there. And it's called World Premiere Land. So it's a land.
Mm-hmm.
It says Disney Theater. But it is a land to its own called World Premiere Land. And there you have it.
But I'm confused because what does that have to do with the adventure?
It's still, yeah, so there's still, well, California Adventure still has, leans a little Hollywood. Buena Vista Street and the Carthay Circle Theater was a movie theater. And so I get it. This rhymes with thinking that, this very much rhymes with the thinking of what Reed made California Adventure. Which was fantastic, by the way. We had the same discussions when in that redo. People were like, oh, I don't know. Like the California Adventure postcard theming was not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody was like, oh, I don't know, Buena Vista Street. But now you see the context. And what works about it for me is the reason it worked for California Adventure is it's the flip side of Walt's life, right? Childhood. And Marceline, Missouri, and all the story worlds that he grew up with. And here's the moment he steps foot in LA. Like that rhymes. That's a beautiful reason for that other park to be. This doesn't need that as much, I guess, unless you sort of take the idea that this is a Europeanized, romanticized European view of Hollywood, right?
I can see that.
That the behind the scenes didn't really work locally for that audience, but the romance of glamour of California, of Hollywood as a place, maybe. I don't know. I would love to know the strategy behind this in terms of were these ideas tested, and I'm sure they were.
Yeah. I'm willing to let them cook. I would like the context.
I mean, this park has always been the little brother to Hollywood Studios and California Adventure. They're the IP parks. And I think this is just sort of giving it a glow up. I don't think it's like matching, but I don't hate it. I think what this might suggest, and I could be entirely wrong and it's very possible, but no one loves the name Hollywood Studios. And if you changed, California Adventure, I don't think Florida Adventure is a good name, but if you used, we have our three adventure parks and they are IP based, our main streets are Hollywood-esque. Like that's what we do with those parks, right? And then you have, in theory, if they had made Westcott, like you would have that same vibe west and east, right? So they're not against this idea of like replicating park concepts because Disneyland is everywhere. And I think this is just their way of what can we do to mush everything together. They've created Universal Studios, basically. What can we do to mush everything together?
They ripped it off anyway from Universal.
They beat them to the punch.
Well, yeah, and they accelerated the Florida park to beat Universal, and that's why it was underprogrammed and tiny and not very good, right, when it first opened. And I would be very surprised if they hadn't thought about for both Florida and for here the name Hollywood Adventure, like California Adventure Park, and then Hollywood Adventure in Florida and Hollywood Adventure in
Hollywood Paris. Adventure Paris. Yeah, I don't know.
Just because adventures these days, don't they?
Well, like. The backlot ideas are kind of dead, but you are sort of stuck with it a bit in some of the infrastructure of that park, so they can't get rid of it entirely.
I think it's a good vibe. If you want to, the only way to mush a bunch of properties together that have nothing to do with each other, unless you're going to sort of do the amalgamation of storytelling, which is like Frontier, that's American storytelling, basically. Frontier, Tomorrow, sci-fi, like adventure, right? It can't do that again. And so they said like, well, if we're gonna mush all this together, we'll use it as like Hollywood, like we've made all this stuff, and like now you can not ride the movies, kind of, but yeah right? So it's fine. I just, you know, it kind of feels, I kind of want them to continue this streamlining a little bit and just sort of say like, all right, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that's pretty much where I'm at.
I don't know anyone who's like, I love the name California Adventure. I don't know anyone that's like, I love the name Hollywood Studios.
I've seen one person who verbatim told me they love the name, but they are also local to the area.
Sure. I get it. I get it.
So I don't know if it's a local thing.
And at the end of the day, at the end of the day, if a Parisian and European audience responds to this name, great.
Great.
And that may be, that may very well be the case that this tested the best and it's not for us.
You can't do worse. What are you going to do? Have less people show up to your park? No.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, because the bigger issue is not what is the brand. It is the perception of that park not being a full day, which we know that programmatically will change with all the new stuff. Like, it's going to be a lot and it's going to finally get that park up to the feeling like it's a full day. Yeah. So Adventure World at least speaks to that expectation of it being more than just, oh, we're going to pop over to the other thing to ride Ratatouille.
It's,
and then go
it's
home,
too, you know it's what I mean? Decades of
Dave, stop.
Bad.
That's pretty much what I did though.
No,
that's
what I did that. That park has crushed poster.
Park's never been great.
And I mean, then we did.
The park's never been great.
Yeah. Let's talk about a new park that might be coming to a place.
Maybe.
Oh, is it not?
Dave, it is coming to a place, I should say, but like, I don't know. These sort of weird deals, I'm always like, let's just sit for a minute and see what happens. Dave, I think you are apt for talking about this probably better than anyone. Being that you have created a park in that region, I should say, not the same place, but
very true.
What new theme park is coming and where?
So
you look so stressed.
So for all you otaku out there, there is going to be a Dragon Ball Z theme park, supposedly, but it's in Saudi Arabia. It's not in the UAE, which is where we built Warner Brothers World. It's in Saudi Arabia, which is very different. There's an area there. We're not going to get into the politics of that and traveling there because I have very strong opinions on that. And that's a whole podcast. Into
it. Don't do it, people. Bad. There. That's all I have to say. It's bad. Don't do that.
Yeah. The TLDR is I spent over a decade going back and forth to the UAE as an open out gay man and never felt scared for my life ever. Things are changing in that region of the world. They really are. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to justify the people that don't want to go there and spend their money. I get it.
Oh,
but at the same token there, but it's driven by very different ideals and very different means. And the UAE is like all in on tourism because they run out of oil in 20 or 30 years. And so they're doubling down and it's a lot more liberal there.
Yeah.
And that's because the capitalism won. The religious clerics in that region don't have the power that they do over places like Saudi Arabia. And Saudi Arabia killed somebody for being gay back in 2016, not that long ago. So whereas the UAE has never even arrested somebody for being gay. The last time they arrested anybody for public display of affection was like in early aughts or late 90s. Like they're very anyway, I could literally talk about this ad infinitum because I've had people attack me for how could you possibly build a theme park in the Middle East as a gay man. And I'm like, that's a lot more nuanced than that discussion that you bring.
Nuance? You don't say nuance, huh?
But this Saudi Arabia is a little tougher. Like we did a lot of work there when I was at Thinkwell. I worked on projects there. I would not travel there more because I personally didn't want to be exactly what we're talking about. I didn't want to be the face of a gay person saying, "Hey, it's okay."
Yeah.
Cause it ain't. As a matter of fact, the place where this park is going is called Qiddiya, and I worked on it. I worked on early concepts for Qiddiya at Thinkwell, and Qiddiya is a huge plot of land that is at the base of a giant sort of cliff wall, natural cliff wall, just outside Riyadh. And it's got – this is where the Six Flags is going, which is like the biggest Six Flags in the world.
That's where it's going? It's going here.
Yeah. So this Dragon Ball park
is so big. There's almost going to be seven flags. That's how big.
So, if people ever wondered, if people want a look at how these kind of big ostentatious projects start in a place like the Middle East, look up Dubai World, and look up, in particular, look up pictures of the model of Dubai. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you some, Nathan, because I took some pictures of Dubai World model. They used to have a visitor center. And it was designed with no, and at least now they're talking to actual designers like Thinkwell and stuff, but this is back in the day. Back then, they would just hire an architect or hire a model shop and do, say, build 8 theme parks here and 50 hotels. And the model was so bizarre and crowded. It's just
unfeasible. So it's my Planet Coaster is what you're saying. It's
it did. It looked like somebody. Yeah. This, unfortunately, I get that feeling from this. I saw the model. I saw the fly through. I watched the video. I'm sure it's got a lot more money behind it because Dragon Ball is massive. And to talk about otaku, the Middle East fandom for Japanese anime and stuff like Dragon Ball in particular is huge. So I get it. It's actually a really good investment there. But it looks like the video that you're seeing, if you watch this video, that's looks like 5 or 6 phases.
It looks like
that's not opening.
Not even that. It looks like, you know, Spy Kids. Like, it's this insane amount of like it's crazy. It's just a crazy amount of 3D. Like,
and
it's too much.
Again, my I can't talk about what I worked on there. What I will say is it was a similar level of this ain't going to happen at this scale. Come on. Mm-hmm. Like, it was crazy and chaotic. Mm-hmm. And this was 6 years ago that we worked on stuff there. Right. And it was like, they didn't know what they wanted. They just wanted everything. And they wanted everything to be the biggest. They wanted everything to be a superlative.
Yeah.
It had to be the biggest, fastest, tallest, everything. And it's like, but when everything's that, nothing is. It's not special anymore, right? And so the nuance of what these things should be versus what they have the money for, which is unfettered in a certain way, and they just want to build it.
Well, in the we can get a little bit into the entertainment washing, show washing. There's a couple terms I've heard, which is what Saudi Arabia has kind of been up to recently with LIV Golf and spending money, Saudi money in Hollywood film and things like that. Like, this is part of that, which is
it's laundering.
We're gonna change our name. No, we're not Saudi Arabia of 20 years ago, or, you know, we're Saudi Arabia of now. We only kill journalists occasionally, you know. So, yeah.
So,
by the way, if this podcast goes out and I'm dead the next day, it's totally MBS did it.
Now you know.
Just so we're clear.
Like, I don't know the brand well enough to know whether any of those designs look fun or accurate or appealing to an audience that loves that show. I just look at that at face value as I will believe that when I see
in that
steel going vertical. Yeah. I'm not going to believe any of it until I see. And even if steel's going vertical, I'm not going to believe it until a building or two are finished and we see some shots inside of it. Because there's a million projects in that region that have gone vertical and then got shut down. And steel and never gets finished.
Wasn't there Universal Park at one point in Saudi Arabia?
Universal, they were clearing ground.
There's still a sign, if I remember correctly.
The sign's still there rotting in the desert. Yeah. That's where the Dubai Land model preview center was. And I have pictures.
Photos will have been going up as
we will already. We just looked at them. Yeah. Weren't they awful? Awesome. Yeah.
I just want a Dragon Ball. That's all I want.
I get it. I get it, girl. I get it.
I get it. I get it.
Just not there particularly.
You're going to Japan. You can get a Dragon Ball. You're going to Japan.
You think I wasn't going to get a Dragon Ball?
I don't know. I'm not into Dragon Ball.
What time of year are you guys going?
Well, I'm going I'm going in 2 weeks.
He's going in 2 weeks.
Do you know if they're doing the Universal Cool Japan promotion then?
Yeah, they're doing it.
Oh, good. You'll love it then. Yeah. So Universal Cool Japan is this thing they do every year in the spring that they take the Space Fantasy Coaster and the 4D Theater, and they redo them as new attractions.
Yeah, they did Lupin 1 year.
They did Lupin 1 year. They did.
I think it's My Hero Academia this year. I think.
Yeah, and they do walkthroughs with big figures and photo ops, and they do specialty merch and stuff, and it's great. I went to that like 2 years in a row, and it's a really great example of how to take sort of two run of the mill attractions, a 4D theater. Everybody's seen one, right? And wow, this is kind of make something new every year. Mm-hmm. And even the coaster, they do it. They did it as a VR coaster one year with one.
I think that was the Lupin one. Yeah. J-pop. I think that's what they did.
Yeah. I saw it with the J-pop singer, Pammy. I forget her name, but somebody's going to correct me. she was great because it was really crazy and colorful. Anyway, I'm glad you guys are going to see that because that's a really high quality. Like
Victoria, overlay. Have to talk about it. I'm not going to Universal. It's
yeah. I'm going.
She's making the train ride over, and I was just like, I have plenty to do in Tokyo. I'm not gonna figure out another hotel and just and really, truly, honestly, all I wanted to do was ride Jaws. I could have ridden Jaws and walked out of the park. So I was sort of like, because I've ridden everything else. So it's not like,
and their jaws is in perfect condition.
I know. Don't. It's like it. My their jaws heart is in
perfect condition.
I never got to ride Jaws, and it's the only place in my heart I want to really bad. But yeah, I can't fathom making the trip and adding more to my schedule. I'm good. I got DisneySea 2 days. I'm good. I'm fine.
I'll FaceTime you, and it'll be like you were there.
Now you're just rubbing it in. All right. You know what? I'm feeling some justice needs to be handed out. And so we are going to go now to Rat Court.
Hear ye, hear ye. Rat Court is now in session. The Rat-tastic Judge Nathan Hartman presiding.
Order in my court. sound effects will be added in post. It's the hardest job I have while editing is putting in that. Okay. So we have three cases before the court today. Lawyer Victoria, you have the first, and we will decide, as always on Rat Court, if this suing is legit or sus. So Victoria, please provide the first case.
Alrighty. So Goofy decided to live up to his name today. That's really all I can say about that. So.
He done got goofed.
So someone named Katrina Griffin was at California Adventure. Looks like, oh, this was 2022. So April of 2022.
Right. The case has been put out more recently. But yeah, it's older.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like she was bent over to tie her daughter's shoe, and Goofy walked directly into her and fell on top of her, and it says in quotes, all of his body weight, and it caused her to fall into hard cement. It doesn't say where exactly in DCA this happened, so I'm assuming it's where his meet and greet is. It's,
can you add the Goofy yell there, too?
You just did it for me. That saves me editing time, so thank you, Dave.
If it hasn't changed.
I just like the idea that you're in your hotel room and someone's like next door and they're like, Jesus, what happened? I think he fell in the shower. Sounded like Goofy is next door. Oh, Victoria, continue. I'm so sorry.
Oh, shit. So if his meet and greet in DCA hasn't changed in so many years, then it's right next to Carthay Circle Theater. Carthay Circle Restaurant. So this resulted in severe, traumatic, debilitating, and permanent injuries that necessitated significant medical care as well as emotional pain and suffering. So it didn't describe the injuries, but it said there will be some permanent damage. So they are suing Disneyland, the cast member who was in the Goofy costume, and the cast member who was their attendant.
Mm-hmm.
Claiming that they stopped to fail it, and the cast members are John Doe 1 and John Doe 2. But otherwise, she's just seeking damages for negligence, and there's something scheduled for September 4th of this year, I believe. It doesn't say year, but...
I mean, how many times have we heard of a court case where someone brings a Goofy head or another costume character head into the court, and they're like... Let me show you how hard it is to see out of this thing. Like, this happens. I know I've read about it in a David Koenig book. Like, this is not a new concept of how hard it is to see. But to sue the cast member seems wild as hell to me.
Yeah, it seems really excessive. Why sue them specifically if you're already suing the company?
So and clearly,
you're suing the attendant too.
Yeah, clearly she bent down out of Goofy's eye line, and Goofy ran into her and fell down on top of her. Right? I mean, that's what happened here.
It was an accident. Like,
do we believe that there is severe traumatic, debilitating, and permanent injury?
If it was described in the suit, then I would be willing to say it depending on the injury. But because they didn't describe anything, I can only really know.
Yeah, the suit, that kind of verbiage, I wish we had Janine here. That kind of verbiage to me sounds like blanket. Like,
yeah.
Like the next one we're gonna read has the same exact language. So
yeah.
I'm not doubting that there was some injury occurred, having a 200 pound performer with a 40 pound costume fall on you is not fun.
Yeah. Sounds like an SAT question. If a 200 pound man in a 40 pound costume falls on top of you, what is the inertia weigh?
It was just very dramatic, like traumatic, debilitating, permanent. It's just like you picked out words.
Yeah. I mean, if I found myself entangled with Goofy, I might feel that's traumatic. But I think it happened, but I am going to say sus on this one in the sense of the amount of damages and the breadth of the sewage that's going on here.
Sewage?
Yeah.
Sewage?
Too much sewage.
Sewage.
Too much sewage all around.
Yeah, I would say it's very sus indeed.
Dave?
Yeah, I think calling out the performer, I mean, the performer and the handler are not, there's no way Disney would throw them under the bus. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have their own internal,
right. Don't fall on people.
Investigation.
Yeah.
Investigation.
But, yeah. Investigation. I don't know. It just seemed, I think that it is, is it bad that it happened? Yes. Right. Was the lady probably hurt? Yes. But Disney probably offered them like, a lot in terms of here's a hotel room or here's tickets to come back. We're very sorry. We'll patch you up.
Yeah.
Kind of stuff. Have you checked out? And someone in their family went, no, Disney's got a ton of money.
If she was checked on, she signed something. Because when Katie fell and hurt her ankle on Main Street, and it was bad. We didn't know how bad her ankle was going to be, and she ended up being okay. But like they were like, oh, let's help you, like, and let's put you on this thing, and like, are you okay? And then also, if you could just sign here, right? And honestly, we didn't read it because like we weren't going to sue. We had no interest in that. It was her fault, you know.
Right,
but. You know, like my guess is that they signed something if they went through all this whole process. I don't know, but I'm going to say sus. Victoria says sus. Dave, I need an actual answer from you.
Sus.
So it's sus. All right. Our second court case is none other than this is lawyer Dave. Could you please read?
I didn't read this one, but I wanted to be surprised.
Oh, very fun. This is one we don't see very often, a universal case.
Oh,
yeah. So
okay.
These are people that got stuck on Harry Potter and the Forbidden Journey.
Okay.
Again, you're familiar with is the four-person bench seat with over-the-shoulder restraints attached to a robot arm.
The KUKA.
And they said that the ride e-stopped and they were stuck in midair at an angle that left them tilted backward into the right. For about an hour.
Right.
They said an hour.
Now, I know exactly where this spot is.
I've been stuck there.
It's Weeping Willow is where this is.
Yeah.
Because every time you...
Willow. Which, by the way, you do not go over... Like, I'm going to... Mm-hmm. I'll use my phone as an example. Because right. I built one of these rides. And I told the manufacturer, I'm like... What is that effect you do at the Whomping Willow? Because, man, I'm totally upside down. I'm like on my head. And they're like, you're not. Like, you are about at that angle. I'm not kidding.
I believe it.
It feels like you're like this, really? But that's your head. But you're really like that.
Yeah.
It's not. They can't tilt you back that
Be
far.
That as it may, not fun.
Yeah.
Not
fun.
Not fun.
Still not fun. I'm just surprised that that they would be there that long, because they said they were there for about 1 hour and then they were moved to an upright position for about 30 more minutes before they could get them off.
Well, then I have a question, because you're really not supposed to bring your phone or anything like that. So how do they know they were there for an hour?
Oh, we'll look at their watch. Who knows?
Oh, true, like, true. Apple Watch.
Yeah. And they could pad it. I mean, I am not. I'm sure it was very uncomfortable, but they are making. They're basically saying things like they're left in position, which subjected them to severe injuries for an unreasonable and dangerous amount of time. Severe injuries, and incurred medical expenses and general damages in an amount to be proven at the time of trial. They're suing for damages, alleging liability, negligence, and the infliction of emotional distress. Married couple Deborah here another one of these like last week. Married couple Deborah Bianne and Gerald Scott Bianne are also suing for emotional distress as a result of watching the other spouse being injured. Deborah's injuries allegedly required significant medical treatment, including surgery, which has prevented her from being able to perform the duties of a wife, including maintaining the home and providing love, sexual relations, moral support, and command.
I know this is
another one of these.
I know it's part of like normal lawyer lingo, but I just love this sort of like, my wife can't bone me anymore because of forbidden. My forbidden journey is no more because of forbidden journey. So I don't know.
I mean, at least in this one, they described what was wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I know that like if all they had cited was emotional distress, because I've been stuck. Look, I programmed one of these rides. That restraint is not comfortable.
Which ride did you use a Kuka arm on? I don't remember this one.
Batman. Okay. Batman Night.
Oh, at
Abu Dhabi. And I was in that thing for hours at a time, and I get it. It's very uncomfortable. My anxiety and claustrophobia would kick in a lot.
Yeah,
there were parts where I was kicking and screaming, going, "Guys, get me to a station, get me off this fucking thing." Like, I get it. Yeah. And if that had been the case, if it was just emotional distress, I would say this is totally not sus.
Mm-hmm. Legit.
The fact that they're saying that there is physical, there was surgery.
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out the surgery.
Like, how old are these people?
Well.
If being held in that position caused injury, they shouldn't have been riding it in the first place.
And it tells, and they have warnings and such that tell you who are you, like, pregnant.
A portrait has been very like a portrait and a sorting hat has been very clear at this point about what you can and cannot do.
But you are not held. I mean, I'm going to go so far as to say, I know how these things are programmed and how the programs get approved by the city and by. They have guys come in. They have people come in. There's like a there's a guy that we used to bring in at Universal. He passed away years ago, just natural causes. But he was a spinal surgeon, and his name was his last name was Brown. He was actually Doc Brown.
Very funny.
And Doc Brown was, they called him the roller coaster doctor for decades, because he perfected this technique of bringing on an accelerometer under rides, measuring them, showing where the forces were acceptable and unacceptable in a human body, given whatever. Mm-hmm. Height you wanted and age range you
That's
wanted
cool.
and saying, you know, it was very cool. Right. And so he would help the companies, you know, get these things down to an acceptable level of risk and reward. And
Marty, and we got to get this ride down. Yeah. It's got to have less G forces. Marty.
I worked with him on Back to the Future in Hollywood in the early 90s. He put his little box in the DeLorean and ran and said, run the ride. And we got this computer readout, and he says, all right, we have some spikes here that we need to calm down, because that somebody on the side seat could hit their head, and that's going to be too much. You know, it was very detailed analysis. We went through weeks and weeks of him reviewing
Doc
our
Brown
ride program from every seat.
In the DeLorean.
His name is Doc Brown. From every seat, from every car in that ride. So all this to say that I find it highly unlikely that Universal, in evaluating that program, because that ride can stop anywhere.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Just pull the plug. If this is on a power outage, which was saying it was the reason, it could be stuck for up to an hour. That's part of the risk. I doubt Universal would have allowed a ride program that would have held somebody in a position that was physically injuring. Right. Emotionally, claustrophobia.
For sure. I don't 100%. Look, I don't like riding Forbidden Journey, period. Like,
yeah, it's very claustrophobic.
Yeah. I don't, I've never seen the whatchamacallums, what are they called, the demon things, the something somethings,
the Dementors? Yeah, the
never seen them, never seen the spiders. I too close. Why? Too close, my eyes go can't, like, immediately I can't they won't open. I can't make them open. I tried, they won't open. I'm lucky if I see the dragon. If I see the dragon, then I get
flower. You're such a delicate flower.
I don't look. It's just my impulse. If things are too close, I'm just like, no.
I get it.
That is both the feature and the flaw of that ride to me. I always describe it as an old pretzel in the dark spook house ride of Harry Potter.
Yeah, totally.
It's like, remember those things in Harry Potter that were scary? Booga, booga,
yeah,
booga.
Totally.
Remember that other thing? Booga, booga, booga. Like, it's just that over and over.
Yeah.
Rinse and lather, rinse.
Yeah.
It really is.
You know.
Oh, 100%.
There's no subtlety.
It's called Forbidden Journey, which I don't even know if it's really that forbidden. Because we, anyway. Yeah, I
Isn't
think.
It forbidden? Anyway, so forbidden?
I vote.
That's true.
I vote sus.
I vote sus as well.
I agree.
Yeah. So.
I agree.
Sus. All right. We have one more final case. Victoria. This one boggles my mind a little bit. Will you please read what has happened to this man on a Disney ferry?
Sure. And I'm going to start with the fact that it's funny, but it's not funny.
Not laughing at you, we're laughing with you. You know,
a man is suing Disney World after the ferry crashed last year and left him in a trash can. So yeah, there's that. He decided to take the Richard F. Irvin ferry from the parking lot to the park. Because when you get to the TTC, you can either take the monorail or you can take the ferry.
Yeah, Dick Irvine or the Joe Fowler. I think those are the only two.
He took the Irvine. Mm-hmm. So the ferry suffered from overcrowding during the trip and it forced him to stand near the stern. So once it was getting to the docking area for Magic Kingdom, the ferry apparently did not slow down. It hit the dock at a unsafe and higher rate of speed, causing the passengers to get thrown about. There was no warning provided to the passengers, and apparently one was even knocked unconscious. Which I'm assuming they're going to have him as a witness for this lawsuit, if that's the case. The ferry and the dock sustained damage from the crash, according to the court records. And the man in question hit his head and neck on a steel pillar of the ferry, and he fell into the trash can, something that potentially kept him from actually falling overboard. So he is suing them for negligence, seeking over $50,000 in damages, and... Oh, yeah, that's really it.
And emotional distress for feeling, reminding him of his time getting bullied in middle school, getting dunked in trash.
Sure.
Did
the ferry go down for a bit?
I did a little research, and I could not find anything about this crash, but I did find one on the Fowler, and it was almost the same thing. It was a Reddit thread, and it was like, they kind of rammed into the thing. We all kind of got real jostled about, and then they acted like there was no big deal. And then like, they just like backed up and parked and dropped us off. Don't disagree that there might've been a crash, but if there was one, I also can't see I can kind of see Disney employees going, all right, let's go, because maybe they're used to it or didn't notice. But I also sort of feel like someone would have complained that day. If someone got knocked out, they're going to figure it out pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's the person knocked unconscious for me, because I feel like that one, for a cast member anyway, that would have been like, okay, get off.
Yeah, and the fact that there was visible damage to the dock and to the boat itself.
Apparently.
Well, I do remember them saying they were doing some refurbishment on the dock, but I could be wrong.
No, I mean, but they always do. Like, they're always working on the docks.
Thing, yeah.
One of the ferries just got back out of refurb. Like, it's pretty normal for those things to be in refurb. So it's, I don't know. This one's tricky.
I feel like it could have happened, but I feel like there's some exaggeration.
Yeah. I feel like if there is a case, it's either a complete win because Disney has camera footage of this thing crashing, because they do, or it's a complete loss because Disney has footage and there was no crash. Like, it's,
I'm trying to think of where a trash can is. On the dock.
Did they say on the dock, or I thought they said it was on the boat?
On the boat.
But even then, the I feel like...
And he said it... It said it,
where's
it,
the trash can on the boat?
Prevented him from, he said it prevented him from falling into the water.
I'm going to look up the ferry boat again. I feel...
I don't know where the trash cans are on the ferry boat.
I feel like the trash cans are not on the side near the water.
Yeah, I'm going to look that up.
And I'm having trouble getting an interior here. I'm going to have to watch a video, I think. Let me see. I see no trash cans on the second floor.
Yeah, I don't see any either. I don't see any on the first.
This is Trash Watch 2024. I don't think there's a trash can on the boat. Honestly, I never remembered one. They wouldn't want to have to deal with that.
I was just on the ferry in January, and I don't remember seeing a trash can.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some other thing there that he thought was a trash can.
No, there's like an area where they have like life preservers or stuff, but it's like closed off. It just looks like a cabinet.
Yeah, like that's really, it's kind of for the most part like open where everyone can like walk or stand. There's really nothing like.
Yeah, on purpose.
In the, yeah, like for that reason, I would assume. Like I
feel like we had a real Poirot situation. Ah, monsieur, the thing you don't know is there's no trash cans on the Irvine Ferry. Yeah, I think it's sus now. I think it's sus. I'm going to call sus.
Yeah, now I'm thinking it's sus.
Dave, where
are you? I was already sus.
The man said he fell into something, and there's nothing to fall into.
I was already sus at the unconscious person. I'm going to be honest.
Are we sure that there's no trash cans on it?
I will watch another video. We're going to watch another video. I'm just going to watch.
Yes.
If there was any impact at all, it is worthy of investigating because it's not supposed to fucking happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree that like we shouldn't be crashing ferries. And, I think that's
right. And if it was going to be just a rough arrival, they should, you know, they should tell people they're about to dock and make an announcement as such. And they didn't do that either. So.
I have two answers for you. Okay.
Oh, you found it.
I did, but Miss. Ah, monsieur. All right. So here's the thing. There is a trash can. It's right. So when you go down the stairwell to the front, if you were going to leave, it is the beam that is in the middle there. There is one trash can. I do remember leaning against this trash can. But at least since I was there, it has always been a traditional Disney solid top trash can with side bumpers where you put stuff in. Like an Epcot trash can. No one's falling into one of these. You can't fall into it.
Yeah,
because
you can't fall into
that. No, they open from the side and they pull the stuff out from the side.
Now my follow-up question is, when he says fall into it, is he meaning like he literally fell in, or did he mean like he fell into it like he kind of just like...
Fell into the trash can. Like stopped. Fell at the trash can. Even so...
Yeah.
Okay, so let me look at this video. Even so... If he fell into the trash can and says he would have fallen into the water, that's an impossibility. It is not possible to fall into the trash can. The trash can is like way beyond. I'm going to send you guys the video in the chat, and I've marked the timing. So you have to pause the video. But
well, now that you mention it, even if he did do that, wasn't the boat overcrowded?
Yes, and he would never have fallen in the water. It's impossible.
He wouldn't have fallen in anyway.
They don't,
if it was overcrowded.
Yeah, they don't open the thing until they're fully docked, one. And two, it's nowhere near the water. You're way, way back.
What time should we look
at? I sent it to you. It should click. If it didn't, it's 2:23. Clearly, I have to put this footage in now. But yeah, there's no way. This is like the Zapruder film. I can't see how a man.
Yeah,
falls.
This is sus now. I was with the shits at first. I saw the vision, but I'm it's so sus
the
now.
Trash can is right there in the middle. I think he's a guy who got startled and probably did fall over and probably felt stupid and humiliated and maybe a little injured from falling. But the claims about almost falling in the water and more importantly, probably falling into a trash can, unless there was one of the park sweeper guys and they had one of the big open cans on wheels, but they don't do that.
They never would do that
there.
They don't need to.
They take
trash. They don't need to take trash back. All
right. I was going to say not sus, but I'm going to say
sus.
Also, only 50K?
Yeah, you might as well go for it if you're going to go for it.
Right, if all that happens to you, go for it. Yeah. Go big.
All right. Well, with that, I'm no longer a judge. I'm just a common man.
For free?
Yeah. So, let's go to the mailbag. Mailbag!
You know it's nice when the postman has a letter in his sack for you.
All right, we have a letter from our dear friend Joser. I'm only going to read a portion of it because our dear friend Joser wrote us a screed and a half. J.R.R. Tolkien.
He warned
J.R.R. Tolkien has nothing on Joser when it comes to length.
Oh, boy. All right.
It was a nice long one, but it was very long. I tried to take a segment out of here. It was nice. He was talking about some of the Epcot stuff, that the entertainment, the wild kind of entertainment they used to have, the small sort of acrobatic things, and had lots of little comments. Happy about Sara enjoying her rave experience. But he does say this. He says, a part of a much larger email. Of course, this is what this is from, a part of a larger email. But this is regarding DeFascist and his governorship of Florida as he is closing out his second term, which ran consecutively after his first term as governor. He is not eligible to run for governor in the 2026 gubernatorial election. I believe we had a question about that last time. We were trying to figure out what his motives were. He is to leave office January of 2027 as part of that. However, he is clear to join the race again after 4 years. 2030 gubernatorial race in Florida would be the earliest. Should he choose to do so, if he isn't completely shamed and humiliated by then, the man has no shame. So no. Though Mrs. DeFascist might still want to play MAGA Jackie O in some way, even if at that level where she gets in the governor's mansion again. Yeah, there's been talk. So thank you, Joser. You are correct. There's no motive. There's motivation for him necessarily to win another election to be nice to Disney right now. He's just doing it because, it's your largest employer. Anyway, thank you, Joser. Now, let's finish off like we like to finish off with the Astuter Computer Poem of the Week.
That's why I'm a router for me computer. Everybody needs a friend.
Oh, Astuter. Hello. Welcome, Astuter. Why don't you give us a little Dragon Ball news? Can you give us a little haiku about Dragon Ball news? What do you think about that? Let's see what you got. Worlds of play unfold. Now Dragon Ball's new realm soars. Desert stars align.
Ooh. Bars.
Thank you, Astuter. We appreciate you. Thank you so much. So there you go. This was Rat Castle. Sadly, of course, there's just the three of us tonight. We've had... yeah, all sorts of stuff going on. There's lots of stuff, lots of exciting stuff happening. So we'll talk about that coming up. But Rat Castle, of course, is produced by yours truly, Nathan Hartman. Please subscribe. Come on now. If you haven't already, tell your friends. We've had some good feedback on YouTube. It seems like TikTok's kind of taken off. It's good. It's good. We like it. Keep at us. You are more than welcome to email us, whatever. I have not received a single cast member confession. Now remember, you can anonymously give a cast member confession, all right? And that means some story that something has happened, whatever. We want to hear about puke, we want to hear about sex, we want to hear about barf, whatever, all of it. Puke, sex, and barf. I mean, two of those things are the same thing, but
our 69th episode.
I was
going to
mention, you can also send us material because we have our 69th episode.
69,
and when
dude.
We have the 69th episode,
and we are not mature.
No, it'll be a Sploosh Mountain episode exclusive. It is going to be all of the sex stories that I can find in books, and then also any sex stories or you know, petting or whatever that possibly we may have. I don't know. I might share. We'll see.
Oh, my God.
Who knows? I mean, everyone's grabbed a boob in People Mover. That's really nothing.
I mean, come on.
Have you lived?
Who hasn't?
Have you really lived? So anyway, send us all your good information. I knew the person. She was my wife. It's fine. Don't do that just on the random. So anyway,
Jesus.
Do that. Send us the information. You can do that all at ratcastlepod.com. Or you can email us at ratcastlepod@gmail.com as well. So there you go. And with that, grab your belongings and exit to the left.
Will you stop this foolishness?
What foolishness would you like to see?
Will you get out of here?